Hooters Smoked Wings promo. Take one.
Hooters new smoked wings are marinated overnight.
Then hickory smoked till they taste just right.
And with only half the calories, you can eat twice as many.
They're so good, you'll come to Hooters just for the food. Wait, because this can't be right. Who wrote this?
Yeah, I thought people came here to hang out with us.
And to watch the game. And have a cold one.
Let's just stick to the script.
Sure.
Take two.
So come to Hooters for the smoked wings.
Just don't tell Amber. She's kind of fragile.
Hooters.
Time is money. Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belts and related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers. Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodeau, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
Easy, convenient, affordable. Lady of the Sea Family Medical Clinic in Cutoff, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano, sees patients from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends. Same-day appointments are available on weekdays, with no appointment necessary beginning at 5 p.m. and anytime on weekends. The added convenience of a pharmacy at the same location makes it the best choice for patients in South Lafourche. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
5G is here, but the big carriers want you to sign a pricey long-term contract to get in on the action. Well, no more, because Straight Talk Wireless has rolled out 5G coverage nationwide with plans starting at just $35 a month with no contract. And get a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G for only $299, all on America's best networks. 5G coverage, 5G phones, less money. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome back. Hour number two. Gus Kattengill with you, Jordan Kleber, Maddie Hudak. Maddie, how can people follow you over on Twitter?
Maddie Hudak _94.
Jordan, how can they follow you on Twitter? I don't know why they would, but if they want
at
to.
JD Kleber. There that Kleber starts with a K.
That's awesome. And I'm GCAT _17.
No. Well, it's what? At GCAT _. Did you say underscore? He said underscore?
Yeah, that's what I did.
He did say underscore? Okay, I just wanted to make sure. You know what? I wanted to
he's
make sure.
To
no,
help you out.
No, this is disinformation. He's trying to confuse people no, just now so they can remember his Twitter account instead of mine. You know what? You're just trying to rain on my parade today.
I was trying to actually help you out.
No, you're trying to rain on my parade today because I apparently am the only one that's remotely excited in this studio about practice one, baby. In the books, and Jameis Winston looked fantastic. Maddie, he threw a touchdown pass to Deontay Harris, who probably won't be around for weeks 1 and 2, but still, he caught a touchdown pass. He looked fantastic. Larry Holder, Luke Johnson, Amy Just, everybody at practice said, Jameis looked fantastic. Todd Graffinini will join us in the beginning of next hour to give us his thoughts, though. But Maddie, Jameis Winston well on his way to being the starting quarterback of your New Orleans Saints, right? Yeah. Who took the first string snaps, by the way?
Not Jameis Winston. I mean, I'm not saying that that means that much. Just saying that it's still a competition.
But Sean said that they're rotating by the day, right?
Yeah.
So he could take first string snaps tomorrow, Jameis?
If he doesn't, then there would probably be more attention put on this.
But I'm just saying, could he tomorrow?
Jameis?
Yeah.
Yes, that's how rotational.
There it is. That's what I wanted to hear right there. Jordan, well on his way to being the starting quarterback for the New Orleans Saints. I like it. Todd told us the following after practice.
He was Bubbles.
He was Bubbles the monkey.
He was Bubbles.
He was absolutely Bubbles the monkey, Maddie. He said we have a quarterback competition on our hands.
I'm shocked that we got that text message.
How many interceptions by Tamus?
It is Tamus.
Yes.
At this point. It was 0 for 0 on interceptions.
0 picks by the Saints quarterbacks today. Huh? How about that? 2 threw 5 in one practice. I said that, right? You want to talk about overreacting?
Did he also people throw it out of fans' mind. Face?
Well, that turned out to be attention. A fake report. But regardless, yes. No picks. That's good. The other thing, though, was interesting, and again, I don't know if it's accurate or not, but I believe Todd, he said 0 incompletions. again, not a bad thing, right? I mean
he had a lot in all caps. Like,
in all caps. Yeah. What else did he say?
I said, we got ourselves a QB battle with a bunch of exclamation points.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
No INTs. No incompletions during teams.
Wow.
For either quarterback.
Wow, there it is. Huh? It's a good start. And look, I'm having a little fun with it, but Matty, in all seriousness, if I'm Taysom Hill, that I have to feel like, I don't know if I'm feeling a little pressure or not, but I just, look, to come out day one, and honestly, for the rest of the team too, to see these, both of these guys perform well, make passes, make plays, cause there is a sense, there has to be, man. It's different to look back and not see Drew Brees there. So, you are looking to see who this guy is that's going to lead you on at least that side of the football, if not the team overall, and to have both guys ready to play is how I take that today.
Yeah, I feel like I'm almost taking it for granted in a sense because, like you said, we are so used to stability, and with everything that's kind of snowballed in the past couple of weeks about the Saints, expecting them to come out and kind of both play lights out. It shouldn't necessarily be like, oh yeah, of course both of them did, but that's kind of the way that it almost seems like, because it just really, it is such a well-run ship there. It should be, I guess, less surprising than it is, but mm-hmm. It's certainly a pleasant surprise. Something else interesting I found was that they apparently are going to be employing fullback a little more than they did with Michael Burton, because the rotational guy with Alvin Kamara was their new fullback, Alex Armaugh, who they signed from Carolina. So that was something that I also stood out to me in the first team reps today per John Hendricks of Sports Illustrated Saints Wire.
Here's, again, only a handful of people because there's different COVID protocols and stuff, and the tiers that we're in. I'm just telling you, that's why I'm reading people's tweets. That's what it is. Sean Payton had this question asked about him. Is he going to go with a gut feeling at quarterback? Because this is something, Matty, that I brought up to you, and we've discussed all offseason. Will Taysom Hill legitimately have a shot? And what I mean by that what is it going to be based on? Is it practice? Is it gameplay? Only 3 preseason games. Is it, well, my gut is they're going to improve later on if either quarterback maybe doesn't look fantastic. I still think this is going to be a Pierre Thomas situation where the play on the field is going to be so apparent that everyone will be like, that's your starting quarterback. You know what I'm saying? Like, Pierre Thomas came in undrafted and looked so much better than Antonio Pierce. He's like, that's your running back. He has to make the team. So at least that's my hope, Matty. I would like to, the more practices continue,
right,
see people that are there, even ourselves, when we get an opportunity when they're outside to say, he's just continuing to be steady. Like some of the things they said today about Winston, look composed, just looked, you know, comfortable, things of that nature. Whatever quarterback, if I'm a Saints fan, I want to see the quarterback that gets chosen to be the starter, somebody that continues to get better through camp, somebody that performs in preseason games against the Ravens, Jaguars, and Cardinals. I would like it to be like, Matty, it's a no-brainer as we head into the starting week of the season against the Packers. That person is your quarterback, right? I mean, is that the best case scenario?
Well, I mean, heading into week one, yes.
Right.
But I don't know if that question will get solved immediately or if it will take the full preseason. It's literally impossible to tell at this point, especially with both quarterbacks performing well the first day and there being no obvious, you know, horse running away with it kind of thing off the bat. Right.
First practice with pads isn't until Saturday. Everyone will tell you, wait for pads. Right now is basically OTA. I mean, and again, they haven't had it. So let's see what happens. And this is why I said at the beginning of the show, yes, we're excited. We're going to delve into things. We'll look at the guys that played linebacker next to DeMario, who was opposite of Marshawn Lattimore, and things of that nature, plays of the day. Todd will give us all of that. But we said it. Some of these answers will take days, weeks, I think most of the season to kind of figure out, because I do think with whatever quarterback you go with, you have to give some rope. You have to allow mistakes. You have to allow a loss. You have to allow maybe 2 losses. You have to allow to see how they bounce back. Because, Matty, correct me if I'm wrong. If I'm Mickey Loomis and I'm Sean Payton, I'm trying to evaluate not just for this week, this month, but for the future. It is, because one of these guys, you're going to decide if it is your guy, a multi-year, long-term NFL caliber quarterback contract. So I have to see, I think, season's worth, you know, and I wonder if a quarterback struggles for a game or two and a half. Like, I don't see Sean pulling somebody in and out after a bad, you know, series or something, at least.
No, I think it would have to take a very obvious and glaring, you know, downward trend that lasts multi-games, that it's not, you know, just kind of that group of Twitter that likes to yell about things, yelling about a quarterback change, but it's kind of the eye check is so obvious to everyone. Because, like you said, there are going to be kinks that need to be worked out. I mean, everyone kind of overreacted when Lamar Jackson had a really bad OTA a couple of months ago, and he was the MVP 2 years ago. And it's that same kind of idea with Tua, that they almost didn't really give him a chance and pulled him for Ryan Fitzpatrick in the middle of the season, and kind of, you know, what message is that sending to presumably the quarterback of your future? So it is a difficult balancing game where you want to win and be competitive, but you also want to give that quarterback a legitimate chance to work through the kinks, because, again, it's not going to be Drew Brees under center, no matter how good the first practice looked respectively for both of them.
Mm-hmm. Here's what Sean had to say about maybe, do you go with a gut feeling or do you go with what you see?
That's part of it. But your gut is taking place. The decisions that you're arriving with are taking place, and you try as a coach not to come in with any, you know. I was taught early on, let's evaluate what we see on film, and so that's formulated by a lot of reps.
A little more on the evaluation.
No, I know, and it's kind of been enjoyable. I think, look, both those guys are going to compete in camp. We're going to do our best to give them every bit the opportunity to be our starter. I'm not going to lay out a timeline relative to the snaps they're getting or any of that. Just that they both have had a good off season. Both of them are I think very well respected in the locker room for not only their skill set on the field, but also their leadership and work ethic off the field. So we'll go from there.
Matt, this is something you brought up in hour number one, and it's something that I'm curious about as well, too. We won't really see until August 14th at the earliest, when the Saints take on the Ravens in Baltimore. Will the play calling be different? How do you evaluate both quarterbacks? I think they're, what Sean said in the virtual mini camp was, look, there's going to be a set of plays that both quarterbacks will have to run. That's how you sort of do it. But as you mentioned, Taysom does certain things that Jameis doesn't do, and Jameis does certain things that Taysom doesn't do. So
just look at Lamar Jackson, the way John Harbaugh, it took a couple of seasons, but retooled his offense to suit that quarterback's strength.
That's what Drew Brees actually said, right? In the offseason, when the TPC of Louisiana was going on, the golf tournament, he said, he has a lot of skill, but you're going to have to sit there and be like, okay, we're going to build an offense around Taysom Hill.
Yeah.
And that's why I think this is interesting, because if you go with him, is this team sort of built for that? You seem to think, hey, when you don't have any receivers, that might be more towards his style and leading into it. Here's what Sean said about play calling, though.
Yeah, look, it's a fair question, Mike. I think it bends a little bit. And our job is to give them opportunities to do things that they are comfortable with and that they do well. That becomes a little bit of the uniqueness in this offseason. But nothing that we can't overcome.
Yeah, I mean, is that plan, though, honestly different than any of your 16 previous training camps where you sort of have different installations for the personnel at quarterback?
Well, I've only had 14 prior training camps.
True. Sorry.
Not 16. But, yeah, it's different. Obviously, it's the first training camp we go into without Drew, who, you know, has been a starter here. So, sure, it's going to be different.
So a little on that when we come back, Maddie, on what he had to say there. Look, the play calling thing, as he said, there's some bending to it, and you're just going to make some play calls. But is that any different than really your personnel packages, right? I mean, you're going to call certain plays when you have certain packages in. whether it's a heavy package, whether it's a speedy package, whether it's trying to get Alvin Kamara a certain way. So it kind of is still within the game, if that makes sense.
Well, yeah, and you have to think that Taysom's also been employed in this offense kind of as a decoy, but in the same sense of they've been using personnel schemes that fit Taysom Hill in this offense for several seasons now. So, mm-hmm. I mean, a playbook is hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of plays, and, you know, Sean's been kind of working this mobile quarterback into it for a while now. So, yeah, it's not retooling it. It's just picking, I think Drew's the one actually that referred to it as a Cheesecake Factory menu. It was either that or J.D. O'Sullivan. But it really is. It's just kind of picking which ones fit their strengths, and we'll see that. But I don't think it's a surprise of which ones will fit either of their schemes a little more.
Maddie just made me hungry. Good thing we're heading to Hooters here in a little bit. 2781 Bell Chase Highway. We will be there for the NBA draft show. Todd Graffanini, myself, Jordan Kleber will be there. Box of goodies, Pelicans gear. Literally, they gave us some gear to give away. So definitely want to stop on by and do that. We'll be there from 6 o'clock till maybe they close. They close at 10. So we'll be over there hanging out, looking at the NBA draft. What are you shaking your head for? Be happy.
No, I am very happy.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
It's the Sports Hangover. Jack, coming to you right out of the break on ESPN New Orleans.
We're here early before they wake up. We stay late. We stay informed. We invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
We do this not because it's our job, but because this is about our veterans' lives. This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one, together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We all come together and stand together to serve our veterans. We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.
Your new Ford dealership in Lafourche Parish is Calvin Braxton Ford. You may need your vehicle serviced, but you don't want to drive too far. Get ready for some good news. The Calvin Braxton Ford service department in Lockport is now open. And better yet, they truly want to keep your vehicle running at its best. Now offering a special on gas-only oil changes, just $39.95 up to 5 quarts. Plus, with 4 new tires, your alignment is only $69.95. Yeah, Calvin Braxton Ford, 5878 Highway 1 in Lockport.
If you put a stack of $100 bills and a piece of wood in front of a Formosan termite, what would it eat? Both. They're swarming here and they're hungry. Call Terminex and local experts Dan and Billy Foster, the Bayou Boys. They can treat your home and save you thousands of dollars in damage. Don't let Formosan termites eat you out of house and home. Call Terminex today.
So call those Bayou Boys. They'll get you Terminex tough.
Can we talk?
Talk sports.
Real sports.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. What? What are you looking at?
Nothing.
You know? Nothing. What should the Pelicans do today? Can we make that one of the questions of the day here as well? Because it is NBA draft night. We'll be over at Hooters, as we said. Looking forward to having you guys stop on by and say hello. We got some goodies here as well. Pels did trade their 53rd pick to Philadelphia for cash considerations. That has opened up a lot of speculation. We'll talk about this a little bit later here as well, to possibly freeing up some cash to get a couple of veterans up in here as well. Jack, thank you for holding on, sir. What do you got?
All right. How y'all doing, guys?
Doing well.
You know, you said no incompletions in practice today, right? And that's what you said?
That's what Todd said, yeah.
Okay, does that throw up any red flags for the defensive backfield?
Yeah, but if we're looking at it from the other perspective where they throw an interception, then we'd be talking about it from the other point of view.
Yeah. Matt, does that mean we have holes in the secondary and in coverage?
Because it's basically like Tua throwing 5 interceptions. Yeah. The defense is the best thing since, you know, the greatest show on turf.
No, I look, I like Jack, again, and I think I look at it as Matty does as well, is I like the fact that they're accurate. They're knowing where to go with the football. They're placing, and at the end of the day, it is a practice without pads. And as Breeze has always said, that ball can never hit. He had a rule. You know, he's talked about this before. The ball cannot hit the ground at practice. I like that. So I don't take it as, you know, we have.
I was going to say, I look more at the like lack of incompletions versus the interceptions, maybe. Because yeah, I mean, to think that the secondary is playing full lights out without pads is not. But pads or not, accuracy is something that is going to take a tumble after Drew. So to have a 100% batting rate for both quarterbacks, I'm choosing to look at this more positively. I don't think the Saints, we don't need to frame things in a more negative way than they need to be. So let's just be happy that neither quarterback was a glaring red flag.
What I like more about it, though, Jack, is based off, again, the people that were there and reporting, it just seemed like it was, and I dare say, business as usual. And that's a good thing because, Jack, that is something we're paying attention to. How different is this team going to sort of be? And a lot of people have brought up, though, Matty, that the last 2 years you kind of have had to do this, right? You've had to play, what, 5 games 2 years ago, 4 games last year without Drew Brees. So it's not like it's completely out of the ordinary. But, again, it's a whole new year, new season, new locker room, new team, so many faces. I just think that if we're not sitting here going, and I understand it would be completely overreacting after one practice, but we're not sitting here going, oh my gosh, they can't complete a pass. Not that I didn't think it was going to be like that, but you know what? You never know. So I like it at that. You know, Jack?
Well, Gus, like you said yesterday, I too am going to watch more of the preseason than I usually watch.
Yeah.
You know, because all these years with Breeze, there was really no reason to watch it. But guys, I just said one other thing. Gus, I listened to the Aaron Rodgers rant yesterday.
Yeah.
And I was on Aaron Rodgers' side until yesterday. Okay. Cause, I've been watching what they've done with their drafts. And look, they have a really good team. It seems strange that over all of these years, they couldn't find anybody to compliment Davante Adams. You know, nobody. And also, in the last couple of years, and these are the things I think he should have been upset about. In the last few years, two of their starting offensive linemen are now with the Chargers. That's what he should be mad about. Instead, he's ranting about these guys that he won the Super Bowl with 10 years ago that the Packers got rid of. They did the right thing because guys like Jordy Nelson and I forget the linebacker with the long blonde hair, he didn't do anything with the Rams. none of those guys he was talking about after they left Green Bay made a mark anywhere, but he was rambling on about that.
Well, I think it was more of a longstanding, just, you know, kind of how he's felt that these veterans that would have taken team-friendly deals weren't really even given that opportunity. And, I mean, there's a lot of players that work well with one quarterback, work well in one scheme, and go on and, you know, don't make an impact elsewhere. But I think it was just kind of the compounding of that kind of going on, and them cutting Jake Kumerow last year in training camp when, you know, Rodgers would have probably preferred that not to be the case. And I do think it is a little odd that, you know, he wasn't even consulted on just as a, you know, to kind of placate him, for lack of a better term, on the head coaching search or personnel decisions, just giving him a sense that he has a, you know, say in these decisions. It's, I don't know, this perception of this whole thing is going to be different for everyone. But to me, that was the most candid take we've really gotten on what's been going on behind the scenes. And it's just kind of weird to look at kind of, you know, an MVP current reigning quarterback having kind of all of these grievances that it seems like we're never really even asked his opinion on any of them.
That's what I thought was very interesting, that he's like, it's never happened before. Here's Brian Guntkis talking a little bit about, look, they brought back Randall Cobb to make Rodgers happy, and how they handled free agency, could have done it better, things that you've been saying, right? It's about handling people a better way.
Business of people.
And doing that. This is what he had to say, Jack, the GM.
That I think as we move forward here, as long as both parties are willing to kind of to do that and to see how it goes, that he'll start. I think that's something that I think as we move forward here, as long as both parties are willing to kind of to do that and to see how it goes, that he'll start to feel that. You know, I think, again, like I said before, I think it's always been welcome. It's always been part of the process. But when decisions are made, I think we could probably could have done a better job explaining to him why those decisions were made.
And yesterday it was announced that they went and made a trade and brought back Randall Cobb. He had this to say.
I think that's a big part of it. I think it's a big, you know, obviously without Aaron, I don't think we would probably be pursuing that. Randall's still a really good player. And seeing him last night just kind of reminded me, you know, what an impact he'll have in our locker room for our football team. But, you know, this was a very important thing for Aaron. And that's why we did it.
If I ever started a PR firm, that is not how I would have answered that question there. Well, you know, I saw him yesterday. Reminded me how really good he was. But, did this for Aaron. I'm like, that proves Aaron's point, though. He said it's like, there's a good player. He was good. And you let him go. And you got reminded that he's a really good-looking player.
Listen, like, when you have to be really good at your job to basically go on a four-minute tangent at how your employer is really bad at their job and for them to then kind of come in and say, we're going to go with Aaron on this one. Kind of just goes to show you. I mean, here's the thing. If they wanted Jordan Love to start this year, they didn't need to mend this relationship. Rodgers himself said he was kind of mulling retirement, and them conceding on this kind of shows that they know that they might have flubbed up a couple of times with their
We played some of the things that he said yesterday. Jack, here's Rodgers saying he's not going to finish his career with the Packers.
You know, based on them drafting my replacement, J-Lo last year, I think that kind of put things in motion. Based on the way the season went last year, there was nothing in last season that made me confident that I'd be back after 21 and maybe even not after 2020. Thought we could progress some of those conversations with maybe a greater commitment during the off season. Like I said, that didn't happen.
I mean, that's kind of insane. Like, what are you thinking if you're Jordan Love? Like,
oh, that guy's psychological.
Like, his career is over before it began.
This future Hall of Fame quarterback is already like saying, "Well, I'm not playing here because you got drafted here."
Good luck with that one, kid, Jack.
Well, no, but not just him, but the whole locker room. See, look, I think they're one of the Super Bowl favorites. I think they may be the favorite in the NFC, if not for this. How does that affect the locker room? I imagine some of the guys aren't going to like what he did. Some of them are going to be happy about what he did. I think you need to all be pulling in the same direction. And look, I'm a fan of Aaron Rodgers. I think he's the most talented quarterback, including Drew Brees, that I've seen in the last 20 years. Okay, but maybe not Pat Mahomes. You like that, Jordan? But anyway, but still, I'm on his side. But I just think doing this in public, maybe not the way to go. You know, if you really want to make another run at the Super Bowl.
Thank you, Jack. Appreciate the phone call, sir. Are you gonna try to swing by Hooters today, bud?
I can't. I appreciate it. But,
Jack. That's terrible, Jack.
Man, I'm not a big fan of crowds, and I imagine that's going to be a lot of people.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Thank you, Jack. Appreciate it so much, though.
Thank you.
There you go. Bye-bye. Jack. 800-998-1003.
I wouldn't necessarily call airing out probably unsuccessful, but...
You know why I'm playing this song, by the way? What did I text you about this? As well?
Sounds like Raphael kind of music.
Yeah, it is, normally. What's the name of the song, Matty? You know the name of the song? From Elvis?
No.
Really?
I mean, I know it's
Elvis. You know this. Yeah. You don't, neither of y'all know what the song is?
Was it called Las Vegas?
Viva! Okay.
Yeah, Viva Las Vegas.
Well, I got some.
You know why
I'm
playing
some of it, right?
This is going to be the new Green Bay Packers Saints season opener song, or better known as the opening week massacre in the Superdome that's coming.
He's been saying this all week.
Bet it all.
He's been up.
Bet it.
At first it was close game.
Bet it all.
Then it was like 40-10.
Oh,
Green Bay. Now it's not. Yeah,
I think it's going
to probably be 80.
You know,
to zero.
By the way, we haven't even mentioned the fact that the Saints starting kicker Will Lutz, he's not starting training camp. He has a soft tissue issue along with PJ Williams. Bet it all.
Can I play on a 10-day?
I'm just telling you. I mean. No Deontay Harris, no Marshawn Lattimore. Again, it ain't official. But, we know David Onyemata's official.
We have Alex Armaugh.
A ticked off Aaron Rodgers, a ticked off Devontae Parker yesterday. He wasn't unhappy, right? He said he wants to be the highest paid receiver, right?
Devontae Adams? Yeah,
exactly. He
feels disrespected.
They went out and got Randall Cobb for Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers said, hey, it's last hurrah.
Their backup quarterbacks even probably ticked off.
Yeah, Jordan Love ticked off.
Why am I not starting?
Just better be ready. I wonder what that line's going to be. I'll ask Raphael tomorrow.
Well, they could have. Yeah, I thought you meant their offensive line.
No,
for a second.
No,
I was like, well, they could have had a better one if they didn't.
I'm trying to pay
picks
for Christmas on the season opener. I'm just.
But you should have bet. You should have placed your bet before the Aaron Rodgers before he came in. Then you would have.
I told you he was going to be the quarterback.
Yeah, but it
was
still
not
unsure.
Ever going to be Jordan
it was still
Love?
Unsure.
No, he wasn't unsure. Come on, man. At the end of the day, no one's walking away from $37 million or whatever it was. A, and B, the Packers can't win if they don't. Have, well, I mean, it can maybe, but they're a good team.
What did the Eagles do last year?
What?
The Saints? If they remember when you were like, oh, can't win without Aaron Rodgers. What did the Eagles do last year to the Saints?
Are we comparing Carson Wentz to Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
Not so.
This is a terrible comparison.
We should have.
Buddy, hit
the
break music. I don't even know where Jordan was going with that.
What do you mean?
You talking about?
Was it like that the worst?
Jalen Hurts? What are you talking about? Him?
Yes.
What about him?
I'm just saying, like, first starting quarterback, first time starting quarterback.
Yeah, me be the Saints defense. Yeah, exactly. What do you think Aaron Rodgers is going to do?
What made you think that Jordan Love couldn't be? That's where I was trying to get to.
It took a while to get there. You circled back, backed up a little bit. Is that the address? Why do people lower
the
stereo when you're trying? You ever notice that? You ever do that when you're trying to find your direction? Do you lower the music?
Yes.
Is there a reason?
More when you're talking to someone?
Right, no, just like, wait, hold on. Well, no, when you're talking to someone.
Even when I'm parking, my brain can't think.
Right, I'm looking for something and I turn down the radio. I don't know why I do that. Does it help me, really think? I don't know. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans. I don't want to miss it when you hit that high. Wake me up
before you go, cause I'm not planning on going solo. Some people just have a knack for being there when you need them the most. Like your third grade classmate who sticks up for you against that bully. The neighbor who gives you a jump start. And the friend who chases away that flock of geese at your outdoor wedding. Your State Farm agent has your back too, through good times and the not so good. And who's got your agent's back? State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. We're here to help life go right.
Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today at 985-632-0988.
Coco's Mexican Restaurant on Highway 1 in Raceland is open and ready to please you. They have daily lunch specials Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Mouth-watering Mexican food daily with delicious specialty dishes like coconut shrimp tacos, Baja fish tacos. Plus try the trio burritos or a carne asada. Coco's Mexican has happy hour from 3 to 7 p.m. with 2-for-1 margaritas. Delivery service from waiters also available. They're located on Highway 1 in Raceland next to the post office. Coco's.
Is pain putting a strain on your quality of life? Don't suffer in silence. Get relief at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Dr. Luis Hernandez and Dr. Keith Duplantis can provide solutions to neck, knee, and back pain, as well as pain associated with injury, arthritis, nerve damage, and migraines. Get help for your pain at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Call today, 985-493-4080, or go to Thibodaux.com.
The Dave Single from Wendy's, made with fresh, never frozen beef, has the power to blow your mind. But now that the Dave Single is buy one, get one for a buck, as well as the spicy or classic chicken sandwich and the spicy or crispy 10-piece nuggets, Wendy's BOGO for $1 deal is gonna blow your mind and your speakers. Get these faves. BOGO $1 only at Wendy's.
Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Valid for item of equal or lesser value. Cannot be combined with combo or any other offer.
What would you say you do here?
Sports voice.
All day long.
Hello, sports fan.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
It's hard to believe we all knew the day would come. Maddie, Jordan, listeners. The first day of training camp post Drew Brees is in the books. Practice one in the books. DeMario Davis on, who's the voice on this team now that Drew's gone?
Well, certainly when you lose a player of that magnitude, you don't have a player like that. I mean, it's, you know, who we kidding? That's a Hall of Famer that just walked out of the locker room. That you look at all these banners up here, he's a huge reason why all those banners are up here. You can't take that away. And so certainly there's going to be, you know, a void or something that's going to happen. It's going to be a shift in the locker room, right? And so anytime a shift happens, A new challenge presents itself. New obstacles present themselves, and that's what leaders do. You know, you don't know leaders in the good times. You know leaders during challenges, during adversity, and it's about rising to the occasion. It's about rising to meet that challenge, whatever it is. So, can we forecast what those challenges are going to be, what those obstacles are going to be? I don't think it's too early to tell. All we know right now is we have, you know, day one of training camp. We back here. Everybody's in place, and we're working. And I think that's all you can do at this standpoint. As the season, you know, unfolds itself, different guys will rise to the occasion. Different guys will stand up. You know, 5-6 going to do what 5-6 do. That's all I can tell you.
Matt, it's kind of like what I said as we bring in the Cajun Goat here. I like the fact that the approach of the team is business as usual.
Yeah.
Right? And it kind of goes through the next man up mentality. It just happens to be the quarterback and defensive tackle and linebacker and corner and up. But that's what they've done. That's all they know. And I kind of like that today. In the coverage and in what we're hearing, it just kind of sounds like it's another day at Saints camp. And yeah, that's a good thing. Cajun Goat, what you got?
I tell you what, Gus, I think now that the Saints started training camp and everything that's going on, I think they should rename the team to LSU East, because they got enough rap sheets to go around where people can't play. So
that's not a good thing, by the way.
I'm just saying, man, that's just ridiculous that all these guys are getting in trouble and all these guys are not going to be able to start the season. It just puts the coaches in a bad predicament. But I still see this team playing decent this year. You can't do anything until you see the actual product on the field, and I think that's what makes it so exciting about this season, is to see how these guys are going to react, who's going to be the guys that step up that you're going to keep on the team, and where do they go from there. And I just want y'all feelings on the Michael Thomas situation. Do you think, and we know Sean Payton as well as we do for all the years he's been here, when he makes statements like that, that it's time for that guy to go. Do you see anything about a trade maybe trying to get rid of him off this team?
That's a good question. Maddie, here's my only problem, because I was discussing this with some people yesterday. And Jordan, you can attest to this, and you know that. And Jack, I mean, Cajun Goat, you know, you listened to the show. I said last year when the altercation, all that started happening, I heard some stuff. Remember, I came on the show, I'm like, look, I know this is going to sound silly, but I would try to trade Michael Thomas. And I also said it, look, I would call the top five teams that are probably going to be in the draft. You know, here's a guy that's a record, like here's a known receiver for a young quarterback. And then I could move up to the top and maybe go get my quarterback of the future or cornerback of the future, which we found out this year. That's what they actually tried to do and trade up to go get that. That's what I would have done. Now, that's before, because again, you can keep sort of that in-house. That's before he now has a injury that's lasted over a season. That's before now you, as you heard, have a coach that pretty much made it seem like, you know what, maybe this happened because of he wasn't as clear about things in certain areas. And here's the problem, Goat, that if you trade for him, because he's not going to do much this year. I mean, by the time he comes, he can only get so many numbers and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be a typical Michael Thomas here. So I'm trying to now trade for a player that is going on his third season since he was last good and healthy. What are you getting from that?
Yeah.
I mean, you're getting, what, a fourth rounder? I mean, you're not getting a first or a second.
I mean, you'd have to come back and.
Yeah, but why not go and get a receiver, Gus? They're showing interest back in Brandon Cooks again.
Right.
Why not trade him off for a decent receiver or a speedy receiver? Because now you got guys that can throw the ball down the field. Maybe a veteran guy that's kind of established in the league. Could be Cooks, or it could be anyone else that's at the end of their contract that might not get that money that another team wants to get rid of. You can maybe get something for him, I would think. And there was something odd I found. Brandon Marshall had talked about him the other day on that.
Right. Hello? I don't know what happened
just
in case you go there.
Yeah, but disconnected.
Along those points that he was talking about with trying to go get a veteran receiver.
Oh, I don't think Michael Thomas is a tradable asset in the status that he's in, especially with all teams kind of getting this cap squeeze. I couldn't imagine a team that was looking, you know, 6 weeks into the regular season and thinking we could use a receiver 6 weeks into the regular season with not much info on his injury trajectory, and trading him for another receiver right now. I just don't see that happening. But I think Sean made it pretty clear yesterday, which they had the Deontay Harris news and we didn't, which kind of just magnifies that he did not see it as the biggest need in comparison to other positions, which he, you know, kind of plainly identified as cornerback. So I just don't see a lot of that happening for a lot of reasons.
All right, well, here's Sean talking about the position group and how comfortable he is about receiver.
Yeah, look, the guys we have, we think we've got a number of guys that have played quite a bit. We'll always pay close attention to the roster, and kind of go from there. But I couldn't say today that all of a sudden that's something. There's other pressing positions ahead of that position.
Want to list them? do you mind identifying them?
Next question.
Okay.
That is day one. That wasn't even day one. Was it day one? I mean, what do you consider practice one, day one, or yesterday was day one of training camp?
There was no training camp yesterday.
Okay, so we're going to – so that was just
– it was pre-training camp.
Yeah. Not even day one. Not Sean day Payton one. Already gave us the next question. He's ready.
Yeah, he answered it, though, a little later.
Wow. Didn't take long for that. Now, it's interesting because Mickey Loomis, the general manager, was also asked about the receiving depth, and he had this to say.
Yeah, look, I think we like our group of receivers probably more than you know, some of the media guys do, but – yeah, we'll adjust accordingly.
Okay. We'll see how that happens. Part of the reason there's a lot of holes here. Mickey Loomis on the D line depth.
I think we feel pretty good. Obviously, you know, the one thing, you never feel comfortable. You know, you always think you can add, and you always think that we can get better if we just add this piece or that piece, but. You know, in general, I think we feel good about those guys up front. Obviously, you know, David missing some games puts a little bit of a twist on that plan. But look, we've got a lot of talented guys in that front seven and in the front four in particular, and I think we'll be just fine.
All right, so we'll see. Obviously,
the wide receiver thing just kind of speaks more to the Saints system and their confidence in it. Because, I mean, you have to think that that's been a longstanding complaint on the fan side, I guess, of Drew not having ample receivers. So I don't know, the idea that they're going to kind of emphasize that more than they have in the past. It just has always seemed like they find guys that can, you know, run their polished routes well and kind of leave it on the quarterback to get it in their hands. That obviously might have to take somewhat of a modified approach now that Drew's not under center. But again, the fact that this knowledge it's new to us, it's not new to them. And they've had 11 million cap space for a little while now, and there seems to be little to no push on that position. So we might not be confident in it, but everything that they've shown us has given reason to believe that they legitimately are.
Mm-hmm. Again, I don't mind hearing sort of a sense. Now, again, it's day one. We can only go by what we're hearing and what people are reporting that they're seeing here as well. But a business of usual approach, it's not a bad thing. Maddie, quickly, there are some position battles. It's not just quarterback. It's who's going to be opposite of Marshawn Lattimore at cornerback. At least today, who lined up with the ones?
Patrick Robinson.
Okay, he's
the pro back there.
Got experience. It's a guy that, again, I would think Dennis Allen and him trust. Now, Paulson Adebo is a guy that I do like. I do like to see that. He's a rookie. Today was his first practice. He didn't have mini camp and OTAs and all of that. So it'll be interesting to see how quickly he carries on as the installations grow more, as the packages become a little more complex, as a lot of different things go. But based off of what you saw today, what was kind of the reaction by people watching him practice today?
These big size-wise is there. Imposing athleticism, kind of things that we were expecting and hoping to see. But from what I saw, they didn't really employ that many, you know, secondary packages. It was a lot of slot and stuff like that. So hard to kind of put the spotlight on that position today.
Here's what Sean said on the cornerback position.
Yeah, there's still an area there. There's still a position there. There's still a player there that we need to find. We'll continue looking and looking at everyone that we think might be a candidate to fill that must.
Is that interesting that you heard Sean Payton say that? Because does it sound like he just said there's still need to find a starter? I mean, when you say that's a need, there's a must. I mean,
that's what I was talking about.
Is a must equal starter to me? Not a backup, right?
That's what I was talking about when I said, like, in comparison to how they talked about other positions, right? Receiver.
I mean, that's pretty accurate there. A quick break. When we come back, more of the Sports Hangover.
You come and go. You come and go.
Big anniversary diamonds are becoming a hot new trend,
especially in New Orleans.
And now the trend is twice as big, twice as hot.
Tell them, Lori, tell them.
Women are now buying big anniversary diamonds for their men.
As big as the one he bought her?
As big as the one that he bought her.
It got started when men started giving women diamonds at least twice as big as the one in their engagement ring.
And then the lady said, two can play that game.
I like games that two can play.
Everyone likes games that two can play.
A big anniversary diamond says, I love you twice as much today as the day I married you.
It's time for a 2-carat diamond.
Or 3 carats.
Everywhere you go, people are going to ask you about your diamond.
What you tell them is up to you.
You found a partner to share your life with.
And now it's time to celebrate.
2 big diamonds are just the beginning.
Ramsey's Diamond Jewelers, the largest diamond store in Louisiana, on Veterans between Bonneville and West End in Metairie.
Avenue Wine & Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine & Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine & Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine & Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
Your life is mobile. So is your bank. As a State Bank and Trust Company account holder, you can check your balances, view transactions, transfer funds, and pay bills anywhere or anytime with State Bank and Trust Company's online banking or mobility app. Call or stop by any State Bank and Trust location for all the details. State Bank and Trust Company, Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. Member FDIC.
Let's hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Chad Ochocinco. Hanging out with Tom Brady, apparently. What happened? What were you guys watching?
Maddie pulled up. Uh-huh. Was it on Twitter?
Yeah, Tom.
Yeah, Tom Brady's Twitter account. He posted again. Mm-hmm. And it was him and Chad Ochocinco in a Madden video. And a bunch of things going on.
Yeah.
So, like, Maddie and I were confused until the very end when Chad Ochocinco wrote the number 60 on a piece of paper, and it was last year's rating for his speed. So it was
Tom Brady?
It was Tom Brady trying to improve his speed.
Oh, I got you. Speaking of Madden, Maddie, have you been convinced now that EA Sports hates the Saints? They released their top safeties for Madden 2022, numbers 1 through 10. I do not see the Saints starting safe, any of them. You would assume of the two would probably be the one, you know, that's franchise tag that everyone keeps convincing me or trying to is, you know, a top safety in the league. He's not in the top 10, Marcus Williams. Madden.
Ask me to assess Madden's take on safeties.
Yes.
Okay. I don't
Tyrann Mathieu, 1. Buda Baker, 2. Devin McCourty, 3. Jussie Bates, the third, number 4. Justin Simmons, 5. Jamal Adams, 6. Harrison Smith, 7. Eddie Jackson, 8. Adrian Amos, 9. And Minkah Fitzpatrick's 10. Maybe he's 11.
Okay.
It doesn't stop there, Maddie. They also released their top cornerbacks. You know who's not in there? Marshawn Lattimore. No, definitely not Patrick Robinson. Jalen Ramsey, 1. Stephon Gilmore, 2. Jair Alexander, 3. Sorry. Jordan, you remember that painful night that Marcus Davenport was drafted?
Yes, I do.
I thought for sure the Saints had traded up to go get Lamar Jackson. They didn't.
You and Brian were sold.
I was sold. I thought it would happen. You know, Saints are on the clock. Okay, well, Jair Alexander, him and Marshawn Lattimore would have been the two cornerbacks for the next decade. No. And ever since then, I can't let go of the fact that the Saints could have drafted Jair Alexander.
This was in top storylines yesterday, but I didn't get to it. There was top running backs in Madden 22.
Yeah, I'm staring at that right now, and it's proving my point.
Uh-huh. Yes, so at 1, you have Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Sure, 2, after last season, why not? Sure.
Derrick Henry.
Uh-huh.
3, Nick Chubb.
Nick Chubb.
4, okay. Dalvin Cook.
Dalvin Cook, well, he did come into the dome and
missing,
help beat the Saints there.
Who are we missing?
Huh?
Who are we missing?
Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, he's 5.
Okay.
You're okay with that?
I mean, I think
you mean
Nick Chubb.
Well, yeah.
That's...
And I think he's above Dalvin Cook.
You don't think he's above Christian McCaffrey?
I think you can throw a coin flip with those two players.
I just don't see how you, again, just based on last season that Christian McCaffrey largely didn't participate in.
Right. But when he's healthy, he can catch for 1,000 yards and he can rush for 1,000 yards.
Yeah, when?
He only had one season when he wasn't healthy.
Exactly. He only had one.
Okay, well, tell me. Well, by the way, Alvin Kamara.
Listen,
that is a knock on Alvin Kamara. He hasn't had a full healthy season either, Jordan. I mean, we're going to start
nitpicking. Was last year not fully healthy?
Yeah, that was actually. He actually talked about it finally having a full off season, being healthy.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, if we're going to start going into people getting injured here, I mean, he really been out of shape if somebody's 2 or 3.
I mean,
you brought up the Madden ratings.
Yeah.
Right.
And you were obsessive over Marcus Williams not being in.
Well, at least there's a Saint player on there. What?
I have no problem with Christian McCaffrey and Derrick Henry. It's having Nick Chubb and Dalvin Cook and then Alvin Kamara that it loses me when you think of the reasons that you specifically brought up for putting Christian McCaffrey at 1 for the receptions and the rushing. I'm failing to see that in Nick Chubb and Dalvin Cook and see their rushing totally outpace Kamara in full.
Okay. Here's
especially because you consider that Alvin had Drew Brees under center and running back wasn't as necessary perhaps as it was on Vikings. And
Okay. That's fine. I would play Alvin Kamara on having a healthy offseason, but it's not pulling up, Jordan. So
what do you mean it's not pulling up? I just heard a bit of the soundbite.
I know. That was something else. It's 0 seconds, so you didn't save it properly.
Well, I saved it properly.
I'm just telling you. You can look for it yourself. Why don't you play it on your computer, see if it works. But we do have Alvin Kamara trying to be more of a leader.
My leadership, it's I'm not as much as a vocal leader as Drew was, I think. I think I lead by example, and then, like, I don't know how to explain it. I think everybody understands my leadership style, but, like, going back to me saying I kind of emulate and try to learn how Drew led, obviously he's not here no more, and guys are looking to be led by somebody. Me coming in, I would be misleading everybody to trick myself into believing that I need to be Drew to lead this team. You know, I think my biggest thing is just focusing on being me and how I lead and doing that every day and being an example for the new guys, the younger guys, even some of the older guys that, you know, are looking for, you know, the next leader.
Matty, I brought this up during the offseason last year, that you saw and heard Alvin Kamara take on more of a leadership role in instances when CeeDee Deuce went down. He ran on the field, picked him up, and ran over. Marquez Callaway talking about during the virtual mini camp, in which he said before the games when he had to go in and play, Alvin Kamara was the guy that approached him.
Sorry, there's a spider on the window.
That is a massive spider. To say, you could have just said. Next
I saw
time,
him. I saw him.
So both of y'all see the spider coming after me.
I saw him on the Saints flag.
Watched.
I saw him on the Saints flag during the break. I didn't want to say anything.
Really incredible. Thank you. Both
of
you.
So it's inside the.
Oh, yeah, because it was on the Saints flag. And I just didn't want to say anything.
Oh my God.
So I was like, just let him be. Kind of looks like the one from Spider-Man.
Okay, I opened the window. Let's see if he makes his way outside. But I did say you could see him trying to be more of a leader. And, you know, again, it makes sense, though. And I know reporters are going to ask this question. Are you going to try to be that? You can't be Drew. Drew is Drew. You have to lead sort of your sort of way.
Right. I don't think having someone come in and be a carbon copy of Drew Brees should be the goal. I think having people lead the way they lead best and seeing how people respond to that. I mean, when DeMario Davis took over in the huddle, I wouldn't say that he was necessarily trying to, like, emulate Drew in his pregame speeches, but people responded to that. Just having someone that's ready to step up, Sean and them emphasized those intangibles the other day. It wasn't, you know, have the same leadership style as Drew Brees, but players do need to step up and lead, even if it's just a position group, even if it's just to give a sense of stability. It might be a shared responsibility. I don't know if there's necessarily going to be one player next year who carries that torch. It might kind of need to be a collective effort.
All right. Here's DeMario Davis. Also, what are you shaking your head for?
You're so worried about this not even penny size or dime size
really.
Spider.
Would you like to switch seats then? And you're cool? You're cool with the, you're cool with your back to the spider? You wouldn't care at all?
I wouldn't care.
All right. Here's DeMario Davis on leadership's roles himself.
I don't think, you know, too much. Leadership is a lifestyle. It's not something you turn on in the locker room. It's not something that you turn on game day. It's so much that goes into that. And most of it is just about being an example. Anytime, any year, you know, you come in, it's on those leaders to step out in front to exemplify and be an example of what our culture is. You know, it's a reason why we've had so much success, you know, over the past 3-4 years. It has to do with the culture. And that's the leaders, you know, on this team. And that's not one or two guys. It's a group of them. And that's how you have that consistency and that continuity and that chemistry that continues to show itself, you know, every year on game day. And I think the guys in the locker room that's been doing it will continue to do it. And that's what makes it so fun and so easy here.
Just want to say right now that as Maddie just, I think I could read your lips, coming in clutch again, coming
through
again.
Yep.
Drew Brees coming in.
The Drew Brees puppet I have on my hand right now helped me get rid of the spider. That way I wouldn't get bit, and Drew Brees once again saved the day.
Dude, that spider was going, it looked like he was in the ring.
Okay, first off,
he was going boom, boom.
If you guys don't think that spiders can see pretty good, I'd just turn and faced it in any kind of movement, and he was going left, right. He was bobbing and weaving.
It looked like
going
yeah.
left and right.
Like
and
he was
went
in
forwards
ring.
And backwards, and then, you know, I wiggled the puppet like this, and
Drew got him.
Drew, yeah. Well, he went outside. So Drew again was very PETA friendly. He saved the spider and at the same time saved me from getting bit. Thank you, Drew. You're welcome, sir.
Man, you and Drew sound just alike.
Have Thank you,
ever you
George.
Seen Drew Brees and Gus Kattengill in the same room.
Thank you, George.
That Drew doll's been through some.
It really has.
Drew a lot.
It really has. It's a great Drew puppet, though.
Yeah, I mean, face to
Would
face
you like to use the puppet?
Not after a touch of spider.
We didn't. That's the beauty of
it. Didn't.
He pump faked them. Kind of like Jameis Winston did earlier today for a touchdown pass to Deontay Harris.
I see what you did there.
See what I did there? Maddie?
Uh-huh. Hey, Kate.
Jameis Winston well on his way to being the starting quarterback of your New Orleans Saints. Really good.
Yeah, is that in the package for the Aaron Rodgers upset?
Yeah,
I'm sure
he'll
be great against the New York Giants.
I am going to be conflicted if Jameis Winston does start against the Packers.
I'm getting a lot of different vibes from him.
Are you? All right, what about this? I will bet it all if Taysom Hill starts against the Packers.
I don't know.
Huh?
I mean, go to DraftKings.
Look, I'll say this, and Maddie very observantly went to the Saints Twitter page, was just kind of looking at the photos, you know, from the pool photographer today. And if you haven't gone and seen it, I mean, I think I'm okay, you know, doing like legs twice a week at the gym. I have no Taysom Hill must literally do squats.
You don't think that's real?
Every 5 minutes. George convinced.
It's Photoshop.
That it's Photoshop.
That has to
the
be.
The size of Taysom Hill's quads.
Can he
abs,
lift like 600 hamster. Pounds or something absurd?
No, dude, he's got a squat. There's no, it's 1,000 pounds.
Literally,
I mean, go
literally
look at
melons.
Go look at Jameis Winston's not small.
No, that's
and
what you're saying.
And he makes Jameis Winston look tiny.
Winston has like well-defined muscular legs
absolutely.
As well, and he looks like a chicken.
Go look at it. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
El Paso Mexican Grill and Steakhouse, Highway